Hello. So I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once more. So in this one, I'm saying requiescat in pace Pervez Musharraf. He might have been known a bit of Latin because he went to a Catholic school. So the quondam president of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan has been summoned to Jannat. No doubt he'll be getting his 77 virgins, or however many. So Pervez Musharraf, as he said himself, he held the most dangerous political job in the world from 1999 to 2008. And I do remember that coup d'etat in October 1999. I was a bit enthused by it at first. And he was born in Delhi, in undivided India. So he was a child of British India and surely the last Pakistani head of state who shall ever have been born under Britannic jurisprudence. The partition of India, his family being Mohammedans, shifted to the infant state, Pakistan. And I read his autobiography in The Line of Fire way back in 2008, very shortly after it was published. And his father carried all these Indian rupees on the train, and that was going to be really most of the money for the new Pakistani Minister of Foreign Affairs. Could easily have been stolen. So it was from quite an upper-class Urdu-speaking family. So they've been quite wealthy merchants and so on. They claim to be Saeeds, as in descended from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. So they were a highly educated family. His mother had been to university, which was very unusual for an Indian woman at the time. So he grew up in Karachi. He did go to Turkey for a while, which is why he was able to converse in the Turkish language and was deeply admiring of Turkey throughout his life. A bit like Muhammad Ali Jinnah, seeing that almost as a template for Pakistan, a Muslim country and a secular one. But by the time Musharraf grew up, Pakistan was no longer secular. So after his time in Ankara, then he returned to Karachi. He went to St. Patrick's School, run by Catholic priests, even though the majority of his pupils were always Muslims, and formed a Christian college. So he's a bit of a maths whiz. He joined at the age of 18, he joined the Pakistani military academy. So Pakistan's a deeply dysfunctional country. The military is one of the few things that actually works. So being an army officer was a good career, was very respected. They really needed a strong army to fight against India, which outnumbered them 4-1. So he fought in various wars. He was in the artillery. He fought in the Second Indo-Pakistan War in 1964. And the Third Indo-Pakistan War, you know, the one fought really about Bangladesh and so on. So he's promoted up the ranks quite rapidly. Lieutenant Colonel, because he went along with the coup d'etat in 1977. He commanded troops of the Siachen Glacier, you know, in Jammu and Kashmir. So facing off against India, and even spent some time at the Royal College of Defence Studies in the United Kingdom. So obviously he spoke fluent English with quite a strong accent. So there's the Kargil War in 1999, fighting in Jammu and Kashmir. I remember even seeing, I think, India Today magazine, and the front cover was Musharraf's face saying the face of the enemy. But that went ahead not terribly successfully. But he was on a trip to, where was it, Sri Lanka in 1999. He was flying back that October when it seems that the then Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, tried to kill him by not allowing the plane to land in Pakistan. Was it going to crash? Were they going to fly to India? And then he'd be captured by the Indians. This is the chief of army staff. But anyway, he ordered his soldiers on the ground to seize the airport, which they did. The plane was able to land with about 5 minutes of fuel left. The coup d'etat swung into action. It was a bloodless coup d'etat. And therefore, he was able to take over. So and then he declared himself chief executive. Parliament was held in abeyance. What else? So then he did other things. He had himself elected president. So Nawaz Sharif was charged with various crimes, found guilty, but was sent into exile in Saudi Arabia. Remember that this was a plan that was discussed for Bhutto some years before, Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, because Nawaz Sharif could have been topped, but that had led to the execration and isolation of Pakistan in the 70s. So Musharraf decided against that. It was a decision he possibly regretted. But anyway, 9/11 came on Musharraf's watch, and supposedly the phone call from in the United States said, you are the with us or against us. There can be no neutrality. You cooperate with us, you'll be bombed back to the Stone Age. Remember, Pakistan had midwifed the Taliban in the early 1990s, and the largely Pathans, the Taliban's people, Taliban as the same as the Pashto-speaking people in what was then called the Northwest Frontier of the province of Pakistan. So Nawaz Sharif said he'd like to tell the Americans to go forth and multiply, but he had to put that all to one side, examine dispassionately what is in the interests of his country, and here it was to be on the side of the United States, to not be attacked by an overwhelmingly powerful country which was blinded with rage. And he said that even the Prophet Muhammad had sometimes made temporary alliances. So he's going to have to break off relations with the Taliban, de-recognize them. Pakistan had recognized them as the legitimate government of Afghanistan, which they don't to this day, expel their diplomats and actually expedite the NATO expedition and indeed to Afghanistan, ISAF, the International Security Assistance Force for Afghanistan, which they did, and allow shipments of munitions and rations through Pakistan, which he did. But this was quite unpopular, then became deeply unpopular, and so on. So it has his own faction of the Pakistan Muslim League, the Pakistan Muslim League Q for Qaid, as in Qaid e Azum, the great leader, the title of Jinnah, as though that would be the case. So his presidency started off reasonably popular. People were glad to be rid of the self-seeking corrupt politicians, and he was personally incorruptible. What else did he do? I mean, the economy was boosted and so on. So he did crack down on corruption a little bit and forcing people to pay tax and things like that, giving more licenses to the media. And he genuinely tried to ensure that there was peace with India. He sent condolences to India about the Gujarat earthquake in 2001. He was trying to resolve the Pakistan's dispute over Jammu and Kashmir, but this did not bear fruit. Because he was a military man, no one could accuse him of being a wimp or a traitor or whatever. He could actually go further, as the civilians need to prove themselves by standing up to India and spilling blood. So ironically, it was a military man who was actually more dovish. Moreover, he'd seen the consequences. He'd seen his teenage soldiers getting killed. But there were problems with nuclear proliferation. It came to light that A.Q. Khan, a Pakistani nuclear scientist, had sold nuclear secrets to North Korea. But he was hailed as a national hero, so nothing was done against him. So there's a very fractious relationship with the United States. This is in the George W. Bush presidency, and he played a double game with the Americans, played them like a fiddle. Every time he was about to have a meeting with George W. Bush, right on cue, an Afghan Taliban would be arrested, Talib in Pakistan, and handed over to the Americans bound in trust, like a turkey at Christmas. But the Pakistani Taliban were not arrested. In those days, the Pakistani Taliban were not blowing up huge numbers of civilians in Pakistan. And Pakistan's actually a very violent country anyway. There's a lot of Shia gangsterism, there's sectarian violence. So how much was by Taliban is not really noticeable. So really, that's his life. But he became be seen as a military dictator towards the end. They thought he was manipulating the courts. He tried to have a bill to protect women without much success, saying when it was almost virtually impossible to prove rape and so on, and a woman who's actually been raped, she can prove it was adultery, which is almost impossible to do, would be imprisoned for adultery and things like that. The Taliban tried to kill him many, many times. He was unpopular towards the end, partly for suspending the chief justices and the highest judge, the Red Mosque siege and so on. It was on his watch that Benazir Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif came back. He personally loathed Nawaz Sharif and said that anyone who's been prime minister twice can never do it again, to rule those two out. He didn't find Miss Bhutto quite so unacceptable. And it was, I think it was the 27th of December 2007 when she was assassinated, I think, in Lahore. Anyway, he'd stood down as chief of army staff in 2007 whilst remaining president. So taking off his uniform. In the US, he always used to wear his civilian clothes. So then he stood aside. There was an attempt to impeach him, so that he flew abroad and he lived in the UAE mostly. He did return to Pakistan, was later found guilty of various crimes, sentenced to death, but that was overturned only a month later. He was allowed to go to the UAE for medical treatment, where he lived out the rest of his life. So he just died yesterday. So he was married, he had children, and he was a Sunni Muslim, observant, but certainly not extreme by Pakistani standards. Nevertheless, he said blasphemy should still remain a crime. I'm not sure if he supported the death penalty. So he was relatively liberal by Pakistani standards. You can tell how liberal a Pakistani man, or Muslim man is, sorry, from how hirsute he was. He merely sported a moustache. So a very tricky job to do. It wasn't able to do it easily. And of course, the ISI, Inter-Services Intelligence, was spying on people, kidnapping people, issuing death threats, torturing people, killing people unjustly. It wasn't as brutal as what is in Pakistan a lot of the time. He could be worse, but there we are. So he had a very difficult job to do. At least he tried. Some of his views are repulsive, but he is by no means the worst in Pakistan. And some Pakistanis miss him. Right. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.